And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
That intro. I absolutely love that intro. You know why? Because it's Mavs Fanatic time. MMFLs, whatever you want to be called, Mavs fans, we are here.
Mavs Fanatics.
Yeah, the best growing, I don't know, Mavs Fanatic podcast ever.
Because it's definitely
exactly
the best Mavs Fanatic podcast.
Absolutely.
The best one.
Absolutely. It is the best Mavs Fanatic podcast.
Because the other one that we had wasn't called Mavs Fanatic podcast, so we can definitively say that this is the best one.
Right? I am Taman Turner. That's Nick Ankstedt right over there. What's going on, folks? You can't believe we have a wonderful program here for you guys today. You know why? Because
we've already heard it.
Yeah, you know what? That part is true. And because Nick and I, we're going to have some agreements, some disagreements, you know.
Mostly disagreements.
But at the end of the day, you MFFLs are going to support Taman T, except for a fan last night on Twitter trying to call me out. What was this dude's name?
Stephen A., hold on a second.
This dude was trying to call me out and say that I was not a Mavs fan. Totally hurt my soul. I'm like, dude, do you not know? I have been a Mavericks fan. I don't know how old this dude was, but potentially longer than he's been alive. His name is William Pangley. At William Pangley.
And he definitively said that he does not listen to the podcast, so you are not.
Yes, he literally called me out. He tried to say that I wasn't a Mavs fan because I was on the road of T-Tay. Now, I'm not saying I like it when the Mavs lose. I'm just trying to look at a long-term picture, a long-term solution. That's all I'm saying.
The long-term solution is for the Mavericks to win. And we have a guest coming up later.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Chris Arnold is going to be joining us from 105.3 The Fan. The Mavs MC, he understands his organization. He's been around this organization, had many conversations with, you know, Cuban and front office and everything. He knows what's going on with this. And he has some really good stuff to say about where the direction of this team should, you know, what the direction of this team should be.
And check this out, y'all. I can give you a little preview. He totally agrees with me and totally doesn't agree with Nick. Trust me.
Don't lie to the people.
Trust. I'm not lying. I'm just keeping it real.
Stephen A., don't lie to the people.
Hey.
You went full Stephen A. on that guy.
Yeah, he tried to say that I was not a Mavs fan.
I feel like I should be more Skip Bayless-y right now.
I have been a Mavs fan forever. I will always ride and die with the Dallas Mavericks. You know what? I can name players in the night. I remember when we had Eric Strickland and Hubert Davis and Sean Bradley and Gary Trent. Come on, dude. Who are you? I remember when Don Nelson was our head coach for many years when he quit for Avery Johnson to become the head coach. And then we fired Avery and hired Rick Carlisle. How dare you try to say I'm not.
You're also
Mavericks
the one
fan
that taught me that Donnie Nelson coached a couple
he
games
did
for the Mavericks.
He did.
I did not know that.
See, that's how you know that I am a Mavericks fan, a diehard Mavericks, Dallas Mavericks fan. I love this team to a T. William Pangley, how dare you?
How dare he? Well, how dare we not get right into talking to Chris Arnold? So here it is. Here's our interview with Chris Arnold.
Welcome back here, Mavs Fanatics. I hope you guys are doing well. As I promised you, we said we were going to have a good friend and special friend of the show, and that is the Mavs MC and host on 105.3 The Fan, Chris Arnold. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, doing great. How you guys doing?
Hey, man, you know,
so
we're
good to have you on.
We're kicking it here. We're happy the Mavs won last night against the Wizards 113-105. Give us the atmosphere at the AAC, because it seemed like it was rocking last night.
It was,
night.
Man.
Yeah, it was lively. Of course, the Mavericks and the Wizards put on a little show. Mavericks got the first win of 2017, and quiet as it's kept, the team's been winning a lot lately, much to the chagrin of some people who want them to lose every game this year and not go anywhere. But, hey, it is what it is. Mavericks beat the Wizards, and Dirk, put it like this, whenever Dirk plays, the crowd goes wild. Dirk is on a minute count. He wound up playing think 24 minutes. He had 11 points and 8 rebounds, 9 rebounds, and did what he was supposed to do. He spaced the floor out and let them help them win the game.
We love it. And we've had a sort of a back and forth here on the show about whether you should be team tank or whether you should, you know, push for the playoffs or just push for, you know, a competitive team. Do you have a sense or feel that, I mean, if the higher-ups in front office, you know, Mark Cuban and Donnie have said that they're not tanking, but do you see that that's something that is murmured or people talk about when they're around the Mavericks? Not necessarily just staff members, but people all around the Mavericks. Do you hear people talk about tanking a lot more than you
know? No, only the fans are saying that, and talk show hosts and people who are not, put it like this, I call the people who want to tank, and if you're listening and you're that mentality, don't take it personal, but there's a lot of amateur general managers, amateur fantasy basketball people, fantasy yes. football, baseball. They don't understand that just because you acquire talent does not mean the team will suddenly become winners.
Agreed.
You have to have a certain mentality. The best example I give is that when Kobe and Shaq first played together, they won 60 games under Dale Harris. Dale Harris is a good coach. But you have to have a coach that can get it out of the players, and the players have to be committed to win it all. So acquiring talent, amateur general managers out there, does not mean that your team is suddenly going to win. And if you have a team full of, if your team is making business decisions and the players know this, then those players will make business decisions too. And you as the amateur general manager who thinks they're a fan, when their team has all this talent on it and they don't win and they see guys taking nights off or one little small hurt and they're on the bench for a day or two, you're going to start saying that jerk's an a-hole. And they're not. But guess what? They learned it from the team they're with. So you have to have a culture. It goes back to the culture of yep. winning. Now, I'm not saying it's not in a team's best interest to lose every game if you think there's a Shaq or a Kobe or a LeBron in the draft. This year's draft has a whole lot of talent in it, but there, according to all the different experts, are no superstar talents out there, okay? So you can have a good team and be in the draft lottery and still have a good player. You don't have to have the number one pick. The other thing I try to tell all the amateur general managers out there is not like the NFL draft where if you have the exact worst record, you're going to get the number one pick. The NBA draft is a lottery. And the number two, the team with the second worst record of all time, every time has never got the number one overall pick. That just shows you how much luck is involved in a lottery. Again, there's not a LeBron in there. There's not a Kobe in there. And there are players that you're drooling over in college basketball who may be good, but there's some foreign players, like the Greek Freak, you have never heard about.
Yeah.
You have no idea that they're out there, but the scouts and the experts who do know who they are, like the Dirk Nowitzkis and, like I said, the Greek Freaks. I go on and on. Tony Parker, names that nobody ever heard about, but you're drooling over college guys, and you think they're the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pick in the draft, and then there's a name out there you never heard of before. You go, wait a minute, I never heard of this guy before. Oh, he's a stud, Greek Freak.
Hey, Chris,
I guess my whole answer is this. The Dallas Mavericks are not, because they started in a hole. They're a talented team. They're more talented than last year's team. They're younger than last year's team.
Yep.
Last year's team had no problem making the playoffs. This year's team, going into the season, they thought they were a playoff team. But with all the injuries, you wind up with like 40 points for their injuries on the bench. These guys started off in a big hole. I would be shocked if they get out of the lottery. But the next 10 games is going to tell you whether they're going to compete for the number 8 seed or whether they're going to be a lottery team or not. I think it's in their best interest to be a lottery team, but you can't have the mentality of we're going to tank, or you're going to have a culture in your locker room where guys make business decisions and don't know how to win.
Chris, I guarantee you my co-host Nick is going to use the amateur general manager card against me
for the rest of the season,
especially since it came from you. I have to ask you this. Let's say the Mavericks do somehow get out of the lottery bucket and they do make the playoffs as an 18, and they do play the Warriors and they do get swept. I would because I don't see them beating the Warriors. Maybe five games. They made it five games against Oklahoma City last year. But let's say they do that. They lose in the first round. Where is this team from there? Because you have to start looking towards the future. I know Harrison Barnes is looking like he's the future, but Dirk Nowitzki, he's on the last leg. Maybe he may be retired this year. Maybe next, maybe not. But where do the Mavs go if that's the case? And what's their game plan?
To me, their game plan ever since they won the title was flawed by just saying we got Dirk and we're going to get some big-name superstar free agent and he's going to want to play with Dirk. All these superstars really admire Dirk. They love him. They think he's one of the greatest players ever. But they look at him as being old as Dirk. They look at him as being Paul Pierce, you know, Kevin Garnett. They're like, wait a minute, how long can he play? He shocked the Mavericks by playing as well as he has over the last 5-6 years since they won the title.
Yeah.
The flaw was they should have had Tyson Chandler still on the roster to help lure these players to say, look, we got you a rim protector, a guy that's going to board, a guy that's going to set you up and make you look good. You had Dirk and Tyson Chandler, you probably would have had a better shot at getting one of those bigger names. But at the same time, you can't just go all in on free agency and not use the draft to some degree. San Antonio Spurs have been very successful using both. That's what the Dallas Mavericks strategy is going to be now. It took them this long to start using the draft, but understand this. They will never break it down to bare bones and rebuild because Dirk Nowitzki, when Cuban said, I'm going to blow up the championship team, Dirk said, this better work. And Dirk also said, because I'm old, I'm not going to be around if you're going to rebuild. Just get into the playoffs and let's see what happens. For those who say, well, wait a minute, why go to the playoffs, be an 8th or 7th seed, lose, and you, as you put it, get swept by the Golden State Warriors, all I can tell you is you just never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And the two examples are this. Who won the championship this year, fellas?
Cavs. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
And don't you say you saw it coming because you didn't. Nobody saw that coming. Everybody knew it was the year of the Golden State Warriors. They won 73 games, the most games in history, beating Jordan's Bulls teams that won 72. They had the two-time MVP. They had already blown out the Cavaliers both times when they played them again this year, just like they did in the NBA Finals the year before. And the Cavs, so upset that they couldn't beat Golden State, they fired their coach, David Blatt. So going into the playoffs, everybody said, well, it's just a cakewalk. It's an automatic Golden State. Can't nobody beat Golden State. Yeah, Cleveland might be there, but they're going to get blown out again. That's what everybody thought. And then guess what happened? In the Western Conference, out of nowhere, Oklahoma City started making noise. I brought y'all some memories up, didn't I? Look out here. Oklahoma
City. We remember that, yeah, right.
Struggled with the Mavericks. Hold on, let me finish this. Oklahoma City, who struggled with the Mavericks, shocked the Spurs. Spurs thought they had a shot at this thing. Shocked the Spurs. Should have beaten Golden State. Should have beaten them. Had them down 3-2. All right? Should have beaten them. Had 2 tries to knock them out. Couldn't get it done. And then Golden State plays Cavaliers, and Draymond Green steps over LeBron with priors, gets himself suspended. Andrew Bogut hurts his knee, and guess what, though? LeBron brings home a championship to Cleveland. That's why you play the playoffs. I'm not saying the Mavericks going to do what Cleveland did. I'm not even going to say what Mavericks going to do what Oklahoma City did. But you never know.
You never know.
If somebody gets hurt, everything changes.
Hey Chris, can we, the Mavericks make the playoffs and do to the Warriors what the Warriors did to the Mavericks 10 years ago?
That's why you play the playoffs. who saw that coming? In fact, people have a revisionist history on that. I was there for all of that. There are people who, you know, they love Dirk right now. But, boy, they were dogging him out. That team had won 67 games. And they go up against the Golden State Warriors, who hadn't been in the playoffs in 20 years, whatever it was. Don Nelson, the man that put that team together, the guy that showed Dirk how to be a pro, he knew exactly how to get into the Mavericks' head. He did. And Dirk was the MVP that season. And everybody forgets that Dirk was embarrassed to get that MVP trophy because they had knocked out in the first round. And as soon as they were eliminated is when they announced he was the MVP. And he was like, how can I get me the MVP? It was based on the regular season. He said, that's not why I'm feeling it right now. And then people were calling him Euro Soft all the way until they won that championship. There was nothing he could do. people dog out Tony Romo right now, the ones that do, saying, oh, Romo ain't no good, he can't win. That's exactly what they were saying about Dirk. And right now, after Dirk won a title, oh, Dirk's just the greatest. Oh, I've always loved. No, you didn't. Y'all were dogging. I'm talking about the fans that were wishy-washy. They were dogging out Dirk like he was soft and couldn't get nothing done.
We're talking on the phone with Chris Arnold, the Mavs MC, and former host. Now he's just working at 105.3 The Fan, kind of.
Hey, he was on the KNT Masterpiece the other night with Lane Lewis. I was listening to you, by the way, Chris.
I'm on 105.3 The Fan whenever I want to be. That's
right. Hey, that's a better gig for sure.
Right. That, he's got the power
as the Mavs MC. I sort of see you as the guy that sort of orchestrates entertainment sort of during the Mavericks games. How has it been different than years past when the Mavs have had as bad of a record as they've had since, you know, the 90s and 80s?
I'm not the one that orchestrates the entertainment. I appreciate you giving me that props, but that's not me. There's other people who do a better job at it than I do. I just come up with the different things, you know, during the different timeouts, and now they got a staff that does all those different things. That was the first ever NBA MC, and Mark Cuban, you know, said, please do this on the, I was in the TV broadcast, I was the Mavericks analyst for 8 years, and just for, I mean, what Skin Wade does, I was doing that for 8 years, and then they had a girl named Laura Green come in after me, and then Skin came in after her. But the bottom line is, the crowds have always been phenomenal. They currently have the longest sellout streak in North American sports.
Shout out for the sellout.
I don't know how it's sold out when sometimes I look up there, I see empty seats, but, you know, technically people bought those seats, whether they show up or not, you know, if they're corporate seats or whether they're, you know, church groups that didn't all show up or whatever, season ticket holders. Sometimes there's some empty seats, but the crowds have always been enthusiastic because the Dallas Mavericks have made it a point to try to make the game night experience better than watching it on your couch. That's where Mark Cuban asked me to step off the TV booth and come out there and do my thing on the floor. And we've been named best NBA presentation several years. So, you know, props to them for taking it that seriously and not just saying everybody buy a ticket and show up and see if you like it. They actually work very hard at having a really stellar production. But props to the Dallas Mavericks fans because they are very enthusiastic out there. And they primarily know, look at it like this. If you knew, you know, here's your last chance to see, you know, Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach or Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or Kobe. If you knew it's your last chance to see Kobe, I bet you'd be showing up cheering every time he played, whether he won or lost, if that's your guy. You know, so I give the Mavericks fans props because they know the Mavericks going to try to win the game, and more importantly, they know they're watching a legend and they can say they saw him.
No, that's true. I mean, heck, when the Lakers played the Mavericks last year in Kobe's last game here in Dallas, I was actually at that game. I wasn't cheering for Kobe, though, but I was cheering for...
But you want to be able to say you saw him, right?
Hey, I'm glad I got to do that. I got to see him and Dirk, you know, kick it. They had so many good battles together that I got to watch throughout middle and high school. It was nice seeing them as they were older.
By the way, didn't Kobe, everybody forgets this, you're talking about all the different things they have it in 2016 and highlights and stuff, and they talk about the NCAA championship game was incredible. Villanova hitting their last second shot. Cleveland Cavaliers winning it. LeBron getting Cleveland the championship in seven games, and the Cubs winning the World Series in seven games. And everybody talks about those games. But man, Kobe went out of style. His last game,
yeah,
scored 60 points. Nobody has done anything like that.
That was a bad, bad performance.
Even though his last couple of years, he really wasn't doing nothing but missing and bricking. But his last game, he put on a show.
Who had the greater ending, Chris? Was it Kobe Bryant's 60-point performance, or was it Derek Jeter's game-winning hit to walk out at Yankee Stadium?
Man, yeah, that's coin flip. Right there. Because both of them did it when their last year as a whole, you didn't see anything left in the tank, but it just showed you how they're legends. Legends can do something like that, pull it off. Everybody can, you know? So give props to legendary performances when you see them. And again, that's all people be able to talk about. It's like, man, they went out of style. And I ain't mad at them.
Yeah, no, going out in style, I grew up unabashedly a Lakers fan. And because I didn't grow up in Dallas, but Kobe was one of my guys, and man, that was such a great night. I just, you know, sat, nothing else going on, turned my phone off, everything else off, just watched that game, and man, it was special. So I hope Mavericks fans and we definitely get one of those kind of games from Dirk whenever he decides to to hang it up. But all these talks about trade rumors, and you know, a lot of fans on our Twitter timeline are saying trade Bogut, trade Darren Williams, trade Devin Harris, trade all these guys. Do you think that ever gets right. Do you think that ever gets into the locker room? And do you think that that players, and you think that the front office hears that stuff and considers that, or do you think that they're kind of sticking pat with who they have and they want to ride it out to the end?
Front offices always have their own plan, and they don't listen to the noise of public opinion. Players try to focus on the games. Quite a few of them, you know, drown out the noise with other things. But, you know, with social media, they all hear stuff. It's a matter of do they want to react to it.
Yeah.
I use the Dallas Cowboys locker room, for example. Last year, Dez was hearing everything. Man, he was losing his mind. Every time somebody wrote something on Twitter about him, he was going crazy. And people had to tell him, Dez, calm down, man. It ain't that serious. It ain't that crucial. That guy ain't even in the media. So they get on social media, and they know what's up. But at the same time, in fact, these guys know how the league is, and that's why I was talking about business decisions. They know how business happens. So Bogut knows good and well he ain't going to be here next year. He knows that. It's a matter of is he going to be traded at the trade deadline, or is something going to happen, you know, at the end of the offseason. It's illogical for the Dallas Mavericks to keep him when he's so valuable. And he knows this. But he's still a pro. And, you know, they're all out there, Carlisle's making sure they don't not give effort, because the bottom line is they're making millions of dollars to put on the show. You know what I mean? And he's even told them, hey, if y'all win the way y'all capable of, yeah, we got a little playoffs to see what happens. Right now, the Mavericks front office is looking like this. They're not going to give these guys away, and they see what the nucleus is, and there's pieces to the puzzle that are still here that soon as they know where they are after the trade deadline or getting close to the trade deadline, put it like this, the next 10 games is going to tell. They go 8-2 in the next 10 games. You might as well say, okay, let's see what happens in the playoffs. And, again, don't think, oh, my God, this team should be tanking and they need to go to the lottery. There's no need to, because there's no Kobe in the lottery. There's no LeBron there. There's no superstar that's there. There's quite a bit of talent. It says a lot of depth in this year's draft. That means there's a whole lot of players you can get. But because there's no one superstar, you're not throwing away anything. You're not. Not this year. This is not the year. And just so you'll know how you can't project the future on college guys, do you remember the kid from Kansas named Wiggins?
Yeah.
The Cleveland drafted number one, and they traded him to Minnesota when LeBron got there, because LeBron said, bring me whatchamacallit now. I want to win now.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Wiggins?
Oh, of course. We did.
Played in Kansas?
Yes.
Good point. You sure remember, because he was a college player of the year. He was a Canadian
he's
Jordan.
He's a stud. Beast.
Well, he's in Minnesota, and he ain't doing that much, is he?
Wow, average of 20 points.
I'm just trying to say, he might be a good pro when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is, I forget the guy off the top of my head. Who's the guy that they got from Minnesota for Wiggins?
Kevin
Love. By the name of Kevin Love.
Kevin Love. They traded Wiggins for Kevin Love. I can't even tell you how many people debated that. That, because Wiggins is supposed to be so good. Guess what? Kevin Love's got a ring. Wiggins is still trying to be a good NBA player. So just because you put all this on a college guy, like he's going to be all that, that doesn't mean it's going to pan out. And unfortunately, Cuban took that to the nth degree, saying he'd rather get a guy that he knows how good he is, that's in the league, instead of drafting somebody that's supposed to be, and you don't know once they get in the NBA how their mentality might change. Again, nothing against Wiggins. Wiggins is okay. But coming out of the draft, number one pick overall, college player of the year, supposed to be the next, he's supposed to be the Canadian Michael Jordan.
Air Canada. Maple Jordan.
I'm just saying. Look, don't think that this year's draft got Kevin Durant in there. He's not in there. Don't think this year's draft, you know, got LeBron in there. He's not in there. So don't think that if the Mavericks don't wind up in the lottery, they ruin their franchise for years to come. No. Those guys are going to use the draft this year, something they should have been using for the last 3-4 years, but they hadn't. to augment whatever they got. I will also say a flaw in the Mavericks' building process, they've had quality players that they didn't hang on to trying to save cap space for some big-name superstar they couldn't get. I'll give you an example. They could have kept what's his name? He's played for Portland now. He's a power forward, and he shoots threes, and he's from Africa, and his daddy was his grandfather was a king over there in Africa. I forget.
Oh,
right.
Al Farouq Aminu, the chief.
Yeah, Al Farouq Aminu.
Al Farouq Aminu.
I loved Al Farouq Aminu. Al Farouq Aminu is still
in Dallas Maverick right now.
That's great.
But they didn't keep him. They should have. And nobody would be saying, the Mavericks, you know, I wish they would. I wish they did. They need to do this. No, they'd have a nice little squad and still not have a superstar just the way they are right now, not having a superstar.
Or how about to your point about drafting, the guy that was traded with Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, number one overall pick, 2013, Anthony Bennett.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a number.
There you go.
That's a number one pick.
Oh, my.
I mean, that was a very controversial decision at first. But
exactly. There's another case in point right there. And Cuban always likes to use the name Michael Olowokandi because that was another number one overall pick.
The Candy Man.
That's supposed to be a star. Yes. No, didn't do nothing.
Chris.
Remember now, we're naming names of guys who were in college, let alone guys from around the world that you don't even know about that might be good. So I'm not saying lottery or bust. There are guys from all over the world who are really good. And for some reason, the San Antonio Spurs always seem to find them. But there are always guys from all over the world who are very good. I mean, those Gasol brothers are good.
Yeah.
And they weren't in college basketball. So come on.
Chris, as much as I 100% agree with you, you have given my co-host, Nick Angstadt, so much ammo to use against me and calling me the official Dallas Mavericks amateur general manager. You have given him so much ammo. I have to ask you about this certain player because, you know, he came here through free agency. He was good on his previous team that won 73 games, and that is Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes has definitely exceeded expectations since he has been in the Mavericks uniform. As the season continues to play out and his future here, what do you see him being? Is this kind of where he's going to cap out at, or is he just going to get better?
I think he's just going to get better. Now, here's the thing that's so wild. How many people were hating on Harrison Barnes from the day he signed all the way till the season started? Think about it.
Everybody in our time.
All the experts. Yeah, they dogged him out about the Olympics. They dogged him out about the NBA Finals. And the Mavericks made that move, and you would have thought, you know, again, that's why, you know, I don't want to call them amateur general managers, but come on now. Come on now.
Come on.
You got to admit when you're wrong, and there are a lot of people, a whole lot of people wrong about Harrison Barnes. I wasn't, like, on the Harrison Barnes bandwagon, but I wasn't hating on him either. I was like, okay, let's see what he got. The reason I wasn't hating on him is because I'm not consumed with how much money somebody's made and quote, fold my arms up and say, well, he better be worth $94 million. That's not me because for those who don't understand why Harrison Barnes got $94 million, it's real simple. The collective bargaining agreement with the players union said that the owners had, the cap went up to $96 million, from $72 million to $96 million. They said, you got to spend this money. Well, all the big-name superstars were already locked into contracts, but the money had to be spent. So they spent it on the NBA middle class. So it doesn't mean that somebody's got $94 million and they better be some bona fide all-star superstar. No, the money was there and the time was right for that guy's career. So I looked at Harrison Barnes and was like, okay, hopefully he'll be a solid player. But I wasn't hating him on his money, but there's so many people writing stories, being on talk shows, saying he ain't worth no $94 million. That ain't the point. The point is they're finding out right now he's a very solid player, and I think he's only going to get better because he's got all the skill set. There was never any question about does he not have the skills. He was on a team that was loaded. And we're talking about the Golden State Warriors. So if he was, and he was a starter too. So if he wasn't getting the same stats as Klay Thompson and, you know, Steph Curry, whose fault is that? I mean, there's only so much room on the team and so many balls.
Just one.
Right? There's only, one basketball on the court, despite what some may see. Hey, Chris,
let me tell you another thing that unfortunately, and I don't want you guys to get way too caught up in this. We're in the day and age of where people are consumed with analytics. And there's a lot of people who love sports only because they can analytically break it down. Since they weren't either wanting to play the game or weren't good enough to play the certain games that they love to watch, they can show their expertise not by saying, oh, I can shoot a three or I can slam dunk or I can score a touchdown, but they can break down some stats. So they get consumed in the analytics of it all, and then because of fantasy sports, they think they can build a roster. And what they forget is these players have brains and emotions, and that's why they pay coaches millions of dollars to motivate them to get the best out of these guys. And what you don't want to do is think that there's a strategy to lose your way to being a better team. Because there's no way you can have a mentality or a culture in an organization where you say we're going to do it this way and think those guys don't feel it. I'm talking about the ones that play. You cannot assume that they're suddenly, because they have the analytical talent to score X amount of points, grab so many rebounds or whatever, that emotionally or psychologically they can just do whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. Don't get caught up in analytics so much that you assume that you can build a roster and you don't know that Boogie Cousins is crazy. I don't care how many points he scores. He's crazy. And there's a reason why people can't make a move with this guy. He's crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely a player that people...
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. No, it's way more than about that. It's, you know, the culture of a team and everything. But the culture of the Mavericks is... and Mavericks fans, they like to boo people. They give them some extra mustard with the, you know, the introductions, and you hear it every night in AAC. So we did a couple polls on our Twitter page asking fans if they would boo this certain player. And so we're going to go through a couple of these with you just as we end here.
Okay.
So a couple of them, and I'm going to ask you whether you think that the majority of Mavericks fans said that they would boo this player or whether they wouldn't.
Okay.
All right. The easiest one, DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, of course. Boo. 90%.
We refer to him as the center who shall not be named. That got
true. I like that because I swear, you know what? Do you realize he's one of the reasons Chandler Parsons is not here anymore? Because literally, Chandler Parsons guaranteed that they could get DeAndre Jordan, which made them not even offer a contract to bring back Tyson Chandler the second time. And they know they screwed over Tyson Chandler the second time.
Yeah, no,
man,
definitely. Another one on our list that we heard a ton a week ago is James Harden. Do you think Mavericks fans said they would boo James Harden? Yes or no?
Yes, but not as. Yeah, I don't know if it's a high percentage.
Yeah, not as high. 82% said that they would. So 90% for DeAndre.
Well, you know what? Part of that is he plays for Houston, and, of course, Dallas and Houston are rival cities.
Man, we saw that.
Personally, I'm going to tell you something. James Harden, I liked him when he was in Oklahoma City. When he went to Houston, he lost his damn mind. He became a diva, straight-up diva.
I believe it. Let me ask you this next one. This is one I don't think you'll be surprised of. Rajon Rondo.
Yes. He might be number one on that list in my book.
He is up there. He is at 83% of a yes.
Let me tell you something. That guy, he destroyed a locker room. See, this is, I'm going to go back to this analytics for the amateur GMs out there. On paper, Rajon Rondo was the perfect fit to take the Mavericks deep into the playoffs, and that's why they pulled the trigger on that trade. But guess what? Mentally, you couldn't tell him what to do. Psychologically, he was like, no.
Mind us.
I will orchestrate this team, not you, Rick Carlisle. And I will decide who's wide open and not have the ball moving. They had the most efficient offense in NBA history at that point when they brought in Rondo. Yeah. And all he had to do was guard along the perimeter and put the ball in motion. play some defense on the perimeter. They weren't even looking for him to shoot. It's like, Rondo, you don't even have to shoot. Just put the ball in play. And no, he's too smart. Poison. In the words of Bill DeBell, poison.
And, yeah, he definitely alienated a lot of fans and a lot of people here. And it's not surprising that
he's on the bench in Chicago. Yeah. Because he did the same thing right now. He's doing the same thing. Got him benched.
I'll never forget how mad Rondo made me when he had that 8-second violation in Houston with nobody guarding him. It was, yeah. I literally wanted to lose my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, he's smarter than the room. This is the guy, I'm serious. He really is smart. And because he's so smart, he's not going to take an order. It's got to make sense to him. You got to explain it, and it's got to make sense to him. He's got to digest it and then be on board with it.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to make it seem like it was his idea in the first place.
Yeah, and that's why I again say that be careful what you ask for when you say, let's tank or let's – you can't just collect players because you think statistically they're going to be better than what you had before. There's a mental factor to this thing, and that's why coaches get paid a whole lot of money. If there was no reason, if there's no mental aspect or psychological aspect to it, there would not be coaches and managers in sports. There would be none. The players could just do it themselves.
Bill Russell style.
Yeah.
Another one we put up there was Dwayne Wade. Do you think Mavericks fans said that they would boo Dwayne Wade or not?
Yes, because of what he did. It's not so much the ref, winning that first championship and, the refs letting him get away with stuff. It's Ooh. The second time in the finals when Dirk had the flu and D-Wade and LeBron, D-Wade leading the charge, acting like Dirk wasn't sick and mocking him. And even after they won the first title, Dirk said, yeah, we blew it because they were up 2-0 and then lost 4 straight. And Dirk said, yeah, we blew it. That was what he said. We blew it. D-Wade said, you didn't blow it. We took it. How dare you say you blew it? And he refused to shake Dirk's hand at the All-Star game the next year after that. And that's like, that's petty.
Chris,
that is petty.
Can you trash our generation? Because I feel our generation did this. In our poll, did you know that they did not want to boo Dwayne Wade? I can't stand Dwayne
Short
Wade.
Memory.
64%
memory.
Said no.
Chris, when Short I was memory. I was a freshman in high school when the Mavs lost that 06 finals, and I wanted that. This was the first time one of my professional sports teams was in a championship in my lifetime, and to see that whole ordeal go down and with Wade, and he went to the free throw line a lot.
Yeah.
And then in 2011, though, like you just mentioned, the whole pettiness there. I can't stand that man.
I can't either.
All right, we'll do the last one. Chandler Parsons.
I don't know if they put it like this. I don't know if you would want – I don't think they should want to boo him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't dislike the guy. It just put it like this. He was injured. But he wanted to put it like this. He did act like he was somewhat entitled. But – He's a very nice guy, but he's always injured. He didn't live up to the hype, I guess. They hyped him up, and he didn't live up to the hype. And then when the Mavericks wouldn't pay him the $95 or $96 million, he knew somebody would. You can't turn down $95 million. I bet they say they would boo him, but they shouldn't. What'd they say?
They said 48% said yes, that they would boo him. So the majority going for no, but it's pretty split. That was the most divisive one. And that seemed like the case when he came back when the Grizzlies first played this year against the Mavericks in AAC. It was pretty split. There was a lot of, really loud boos, and then there's just a lot of people sitting there, silently kind of clapping to themselves. So pretty split on that one.
Yeah. Again, he put it like this. He could have done more. But he was hurt, and he tried to come back from his injury, and then he thought he was going to still be around, and the Mavericks said, we're not going to offer you the maxed-out contract because we don't know about your knee.
Yeah.
And so he said, we'll give you a one-year deal. And he said, I got two teams, Portland and Memphis, that are talking 90. You can't turn down $97 million.
No,
and
no.
My biggest problem with him was he did have a lot of power as far as deciding, helping Cuban, go after free agents, and he literally talked Cuban out of re-signing Tyson Chandler, and I was like, that is insane. That was just insane.
Mavs,
you re-signed Tyson Chandler, even though, DeAndre Jordan apparently he's younger and get more rebounds and all that stuff. It's like, wait a minute, how many times are you going to screw over Tyson Chandler? He's a perfect fit with Dirk. He's a perfect fit. He's got the leadership. DeAndre Jordan ain't got no leadership. That's why he's trying to leave the Clippers.
Yeah. True, true that. Mavs MC and host on 105.3 The Fan, Chris Arnold. Man, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime, you guys have a good one. And let's see what these Mavericks do or don't do. Either way, hey, Mavericks fans will be all right. One way or the other, you'll be fine. Trust me. They don't have to fall apart and get the number one pick on purpose. They can get into the playoffs and have an interesting year because not every team is going to be a championship owner. They've already done it once.
True, 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 true that. Thanks much, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much for joining us here on the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. That was Chris Arnold. Good stuff. Assistant GM.
Oh.
Taemin Turner, how do you feel?
Oh.
How do you feel knowing that that's now the name I'm going to call you?
I feel
from now until the end of the season.
I have no words. It takes a real, real person to shut me up. And Chris Arnold shut me the heck up.
Down.
I got nothing.
That's it. You're done.
What can I say?
So, for the Mavs Fanatic Podcast, I'm Nick Engstead. This is Assistant GM Taemin Turner.
Oh!
We're out.
Oh.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.